And we're on. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
Okay, so we are here to discuss the draft, all things circa May 2nd. Not that much going on, but the draft is over. Patriots have like 27 new players or whatever with the undrafted class. And and the schedule release is right around the corner. But let's start with the 2020 NFL Draft. Dude, how fucking awesome was it to have some live sports action, even if it wasn't on the actual
field? It was nice. It was nice. I mean, it was, this draft is always anticlimactic because it's just picking names, literally. But it was fun. It was fun. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. You know?
Yeah, so much fun to see something actually play out live before you.
Yeah, instead of the same old droning on things.
Instead of just talking heads being like, I think it's going to come back in May. Well, I think it's going to come back in June.
Literally. All literally.
Right, let's move on, guys.
Exactly.
So the Patriots, with no surprises for us, they trade down from 23. You and I called it last week. Like, they have 23 and they have 87. Something's going to change.
Exactly. And then, it was, you know, you just wonder because there was a lot of talent around 23. They've been saying this draft was loaded. We knew we were going to trade back. I was just a little, there's a few linebackers there, good, some good players on the back end, but a lot of people fell further than I expected. But the Patriots just trading out and ended up getting a second round, the fifth overall of the second round pick, number 37. And they get Kyle Duggar.
Is it Duggar or is it Duggar?
Duggar? I don't know yet. We'll find out, I'm sure, real soon.
Hard to say. I bet Belichick doesn't even. Yeah, it's really bizarre. The good news, I suppose, is the guys that I would have wanted us to draft at 23 were still there at 37. The bad news is that we still didn't take any of them.
Yeah, we didn't take any of them.
I definitely got the feeling that even if Belichick didn't have a trade partner and was forced to take a pick at 23, he was still going to take that same.
I think you're right. I couldn't agree more. I think that's why they dropped out, because they're like, oh, we're going to take this dude no matter what, and we can get him at 37 or, you know, whatever.
From the film, he looks pretty damn good, but
it's D2.
He's playing at one of those colleges that has like three different dash marks in the name. It's like Abilene Christian at Tuscaloosa. It's like, all right, man, I don't know if that's a good school or not. You're in D2. Whereas on the board at the same time, and I'm going to like drive this point home, Grant Delpit from LSU, absolute stud, unanimous All-American in the SEC, on the board.
Yeah.
21 years old, same height, same size. We're in a 4.45 40. I'm like, why is this Division II guy better than, who's 24, by the way, Kyle Duggar, 24-year-old rookie.
Yep, exactly. He's older.
21. And has already been one of the best players in the country for at least 2 years. And you're going to pick this dude over him. Like, I don't get it. Don't get it. But it's, whatever.
It really didn't. I mean, to me, it was kind of like Bill just going to everyone, you can all suck it. Because nobody, well, not nobody. There was, I think, one radio host did say he would be picked by the Patriots, which was stunning that he actually picked it. Nobody knew this guy. Nobody, you know, all the people I talked to about the draft, nobody even has heard of the school, like you said. They, like, nobody.
It's like Lenoir Ryan, by the way.
Yeah, Lenoir Ryan. I mean, nothing against them. It's just they're not somebody. Unless you go there or you live in the town it's in, you probably have never heard of it. You know, so he would get this D2 safety. First of all, neither of us wanted a, I don't think anyone wanted a safety with the first round pick. We had to drop Obi Melifonwu, who I forgot was even on the team.
Yeah, right.
To make room for, because we have so many safeties, which is fine. You know, at this point, the Bill is just uprooting and doing what Bill's just flaunting right now. He's like peacocking around. Like, I feel like just that's with these
the,
picks.
That's what the dog's about, right? He just puts the dog in a seat. He's
puts
like,
the dog in a seat because he doesn't want to do it. He's just fucking with everybody. See, like, he has to be. I mean, he probably thinks, yeah, this guy's a good football player, but. You're right. I mean, he takes a D2 guy over the, you know, LSU, SEC, All-America, all the things you just said. Like, how much, you can't get any better than that.
Like, a couple guys picks gotta later, be good. A couple picks later was Antoine Winfield, who went to Tampa Bay, and he was an All-American from Minnesota in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
with NFL bloodlines and all the speed you would want to see and instincts. It's like, why did we take look at the Patriots roster, what positions do they not need? And safety is the top of that list.
Yeah, it's top three.
And that's why we joked about it last week. We're like, they're probably just going to take a seat with their first pick. It's like, haha, they probably will, though.
Yeah, and they do. They
probably will, and they sure do. Enough.
Trade back, take a safety. Now, the thing is, as I'm sure most of our listeners know, Bill's taken some pretty big swings and pretty big whiffs on secondary players in general in the second round. You can go through the list for 15 years and you'll find like 10 guys, your Jordan Richards, your Terrence Wheatleys and your Rozai Dowlings and the Duke Dawson. I mean, the list is long.
Tavon Wilson.
Yeah.
There's lots of them.
There's a lot of them. So you take a safety Butler there.
Washed right on out of New England.
Yeah. He fell fast. I mean, there's not a lot of hits there. This kid, though, like you said, he, dominated in D2, which you need to see. You need to see him dominate. And then he came to the Senior Bowl. Apparently, he had a really good Senior Bowl in practice. Like, the practices, he must have been lighting it up.
I feel like, since the Patriots have been so successful in the postseason, what did they make? 3 consecutive Super Bowls in 3 out of 5? Or 4 out of 5 years. The one year they didn't make it, they went to AFC Championship game like 8 straight years, 9 straight years, whatever it was. The record that won't be. Mm-hmm. Bill never went to Senior Bowls. He hasn't been to a Senior Bowl in a decade. And now he went and he saw practice and he's like, oh, this guy looks really good in practice. Now I'm in love with him. And maybe he's right. I mean, this is the thing. We don't
know. Yeah, right.
We don't know, but.
You're right.
Shit, this is probably his first time seeing a Senior Bowl practice since Patrick Chung was in college.
Yeah, literally.
And that worries me.
I mean, he likes, obviously, when you look over this whole draft, there's like a common theme is a lot of these guys are, you weren't expected them to do much, or, they were all fighters. They all had to work for what they had. None of them were, I don't think any of them are freaks type of players.
The tight end from UCLA, CSC.
He's kind of a freak.
He's a freak. He was a very highly recruited guy.
One thing I want to mention, too, about like Bill flaunting his feathers, just, strutting his stuff. Remember during the combine, he skipped the first day. He went and scouted some kid in some nowhere, God knows what school, in the pouring rain, and there were pictures of him there at the scout. The kid went undrafted. We didn't even take him. We didn't pick him up.
Well,
so he skipped the first day of the combine to go out to God knows where to watch this kid. That's Bill Belichick having fun.
Did they even do anything in the first day? They just take
I don't know.
Roll call.
But just the fact that he was out there and there was footage of it, he's like, look what I'm doing while you idiots are over there at the combine. This is how much this means. like, and then the guy, we don't even take him. We don't even pick up the guy undrafted that he was scouting. It's like, oh, he must have not liked them.
Whoops.
Just funny.
Well, otherwise, we would have taken him at 23, probably.
Yeah, right.
The only guys that I feel like we missed out on were linebackers that went in between 37.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
We traded out for the Chargers. They get Kenneth Murray, who was one of my favorite players in this draft pool. Linebacker from Oklahoma, wheels, absolute hitter. And then 5 picks later, the Ravens just sit pat, pick up Patrick, who is another athletic specimen linebacker, smaller. Definitely, but CJ Mosley's not that big. He played great. Wink Martindale is going to have a great time with Patrick.
Dude, their defense could be stacked.
I believe in Wink Martindale. I do Clink. Not believe in Marcus Peace being disciplined any stretch of
time. Oh, yeah. Well, their have you seen their defensive line?
Who's on their D line?
They just signed Calais Campbell.
Oh, fuck. That's right.
They got Michael Brockers from.
No. He went back to the Rams. He failed the physical.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he failed the physical.
Oh, they got some other player. They got the dude from last year. What was his, the outside backer? He's pretty good.
Yeah, they hung on to. Oh man, now I'm Lune, but they franchise tagged their edge rusher who somehow made the Pro Bowl over Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy, despite being like the only guy who didn't make it there on legacy. And then their secondary, they got Marcus Peters, Earl Thomas, Marlon Humphrey, this Jimmy Smith at cornerback. I mean, they got a ton of talent.
That's I know, right, dude? It's not what anyone wanted to have.
Yeah,
except for a Ravens fan. Yeah, Calais Campbell is like the perfect player for them too.
Calais Campbell he's one of those guys that just, I don't think he's ever going to age out of being a good player. I think he's just always going to be a real.
He's nasty.
Anyway, so that was the Patriots' first pick, and then they moved on from there and did some things that I think you and I can both agree are more positioned. They draft two edge players, two tight ends to wrap up the draft. And even though we didn't know a lot about those players going in, they're more under the radar prospects. You gotta love that they actually put resources in places that they kind of refused.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Linebacker. I mean, Josh Uche is apparently pretty good. He's the dude from Michigan. He couldn't really find his starting role, but he came in as an edge, you know, rotational player, and he actually killed it. We have like 8 sacks, like 11 tackles for a loss or something, 11 and a half tackles for a loss.
Yeah, with limited snaps, he really had pretty high production to the point that he was an honorable mention all Big Ten player.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And then Afrony Jennings, edge player, Alabama, you watch him. I mean, that D-line is stacked, obviously, but he played a lot. He looked like he fit, you know, on the Alabama defense.
And I'm going to speak for all fans of the Orlando Magic in the 90s that Anthony Jennings will be Penny Jennings.
What?
That's a Penny Hardaway.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Try to keep up there.
Yeah.
Mister, you're now in your...
Yeah, tell me about it. Anthony, so I think he could be kind of... He could turn into something. You never know. Bill's been pretty good with third-round edge rushers. I think we traded up for the Uche pick. We also we kept the Jennings pick, right?
Kept the Jennings pick, kept the SCSE pick, and we packaged 2 picks to move up for Uche.
Yeah, I mean, the tight ends, the thing about them is there were some pretty big tight ends still on the board, like the ones that they talked about being better. What was that dude's name that went right behind them?
Adam Troutman.
Troutman.
Yeah, Adam Troutman, I did want to talk about him. He went 105 to the Saints, about 10 picks after the two tight ends that we select.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Troutman's a guy that was on my radar beforehand, and I actually thought he was a better player than I expected to think. When you see a tight end coming out of Dayton, you get those same feels. You're like, oh, you played in the Pioneer Conference? But the dude had some savvy, like 6'5", he's got good size, played inside and outside. And what turned out to be his final landing spot with the New Orleans Saints, the Saints traded their entire draft after this pick to trade up and get him at 105.
Really?
They pulled a Ricky Williams. I know Ricky Williams was at number 5 when Mike Ditka traded his entire draft to get up to number 5 for Ricky. But the Saints, in the 100 and later, when they had like 4 or 5 picks, they traded them all to get him at 105.
No way.
Yeah. So Sean Payton has a real good eye for tight ends. Sean Payton was with the Cowboys when they brought in Jason Witten. Sean Payton's the one that drafted Jimmy Graham. He's been part of Jared Cook to a productive member, not that he wasn't joining the Saints last season.
Yeah, he knows Sean offensive Payton, weapons.
He knows what offensive. He's doing with tight end.
And receivers, too. I mean, look at Michael Thomas.
Yeah, totally. Michael Thomas is a second-round pick.
Yeah. So I was happy to see that we double-dipped in the tight end position. I mean, I think everyone was kind of happy to see that. A CSC seems like a legit player. I don't really know much about him, but for what I've seen, he's a like 6'3", he's like 260 or something, right? He can move kind of well. He's like a 4'7 guy, catches the ball over the middle, you know?
He's a real good athlete. He's one of those guys that should have been better in college once. And you never know with a player like that. Is it because he doesn't want to be good? You just never know. So he's one of those typical boomer bust players.
Yeah. Well, he's going to go get the best coaching, so maybe that brings it out of him. And then Dalton Keene was a little more of a surprising pick. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife guy. Has played fullback, has played tight end in, you know, blocking tight end, outside tight end. He's kind of done a few different things. And I wonder how much of his pick has to do with the news we got on James Devlin.
Yeah, definitely could. I mean, Dalton Keene's not built like your classic fullback. He's 6'4", 250, but James Devlin wasn't built like that either. James Devlin, 6'3" guy, defensive end in college for Brown. But yeah, unfortunately, it turns out that James Devlin, neck injury, I don't know if it was deemed career-ending or was more of a, like...
Yeah, I didn't hear... I think the same thing. Like, I don't know if which option it was. I hope it's more of him just obviously going to hang it up.
Yeah, I hope he got it wasn't so severe that he was forced out, but that he was able to that decision along with the.
Yeah.
They're without a fullback, and we saw really as soon as the season started and James Devlin was out, we saw the difference in the Patriots running game where they really relied on it for the second half of. And then it was like, it was never there. It was just flat out never there this year. And so much of that has Gronk being out, definitely. But also James Devlin.
And Andrews.
And Andrews. Yeah, good point. Good point. But the when we had Jacob Johnson in there playing fullback, you could see a marked difference in how Sony Michel was able to be productive in the running game. And then even sometimes with Atlanta Roberts, I know Atlanta Roberts was playing out of position, didn't have the level of experience that a James Devlin or a full-time fullback would have, but it just makes such a difference for Michelle to run behind a lead blocker.
And
that's so, they brought somebody in the offseason, and B. Troutman gets flexed there. He seems like he could back.
Keen.
Not Troutman.
Well, the dude we got from the Packers looks like an animal.
Yeah.
Looks like a complete beast.
The Packers just create.
Yeah, right? I mean, the only thing like Dalton Keene, I don't know why, but years and years ago, back in 2005 or 6 or something, we got Garrett Mills. I think he was a third or fourth round pick. It was kind of like a Swiss Army knife tight end, and he did nothing. I just hope this kid isn't like that. His his bio and what I've read about him seems similar. So hopefully he can break out.
Okay, what I really like about this double dipping at tight end and edge player is you just need one of them to be right.
You just need one.
It's like the other year where they took Trey Jackson and Shaq Mason, two guards, like 10 picks away from each other. And they were it was like they were playing craps in the back alley. They're like, just give me one of them.
Right.
Just one of them turn up 7.
And Bill's done that a lot. He does do that a lot.
And it's like, yeah, fine. If you get one good tight end out of 2 third round picks, you cashed in big time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I mean, we have guys that can play. Maybe, you know, Lacoste can be a number two tight end. I'm not worried about that, but you need a number one.
Well, he's got to stay on the field. That's a big part of it. And then we go into day 3 of the draft. The Pats have like 9 different picks, and I'm just sitting there being like, trade up. Just please trade. Just fucking trade up. Because they were sitting at 159, like that. The day started at 107. And, you know, going into day 3, there's always all that talk about, oh, this guy who's been in the national headlines for the last 2 years in college football, and he's still on the board, namely Jake Fromm, a guy that I liked as a quarterback prospect and just a backup, which is totally.
Yeah.
But he keeps falling, and I'm like, trade up. And just give him a chance. But they sit tight and take their guy, who's a kicker, from West Virginia, from Marshall, West Virginia.
Marshall. Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, that's Bill. That's Bill for you. I mean,
that's Bill.
Sometimes he took Gostkowski in the 4th round. That worked out great.
Yep.
He also took Zoltan Mesko so well.
It wasn't terrible, though.
It wasn't terrible, but Ryan Allen was a heck of a better punter than Zoltan Mesko.
Mm-hmm. But he took another punter, what was it, a year ago, 2 years ago.
6th round. I don't
know. And he's nasty. He's disgusting.
He is really good. I can't even remember
his name. Unfortunate we don't know his name, but he is unbelievable.
Yeah, but he's a heck of a punter. That's kind of the point. I mean, he drafted Joe Cardona as a long snapper. Yeah. No one.
Nobody. Then, so, yeah, we get this guy. I just wanted to say quick, I did see some footage. One of my friends sent me some footage on him. And Roasser, I mean, he's got some political thing going on because he's got some tattoo that means something and he's getting removed. We don't need to get into that. But he could boom the ball. 50, 60 yarders. Obviously, this isn't during the game and, you know, it's just on a practice field. So it's a completely different situation. But with all, you know, just in practice, he was hitting like a 60 yarder with room.
Yeah.
Like with a lot of, I was like, wow, kid's got a leg. The kid's got a leg.
I would hope so. He's a professional kicker.
Yeah. And I do, you know, he went over all the projected kickers. Like, nobody had this dude in their top 10. You know that?
I did not know that.
Well, like, I don't know about everybody, but, like, all the big ones, apparently, he wasn't in people's top 10s. And then you hear Bill talk about him. He goes, oh, well, he's kicked in West Virginia outdoors. And I wonder, you know, I feel like we really learned how much outdoor kicking means to Bill Belichick. Like, element kicking.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest part of kicking for the Patriots.
Yeah, he like last year he turned guys down or kept going to Falk because Falk had kicked outside. That was the only reason.
I had so much anxiety about the kicking situation. Hopefully this guy's got ice water in his veins. I was very pleased to see, not to touch too deeply on the tattoo issue, but I was pleased to see his remark where he was like, I'll get a
Yeah.
It's like, that's a Patriots response like there. Bill doesn't like something, I'll get it taken.
Yep,
done and
yep.
done.
Exactly.
As I'm looking at the draft list right now, two picks later than this kicker goes, Tyler Johnson, wide receiver from Minnesota. I know I keep saying that. That's cool, but he was a heck of a player for the Golden Gophers this last fall. He goes to Tampa Bay. He's going to go down and play with Tom Brady. They get Grant Delpit, one of my favorite players, Tyler Johnson, two picks later than a goddamn kicker in the fifth round. He goes back to Tampa Bay. Can I have a job in your front office? This was like 15 picks before Jake Fromm goes. Later on in the draft, they just pick up three offensive linemen, just kind of solidify the linebacker role with a kid from Wyoming who may or may not make
it. Louis.
Yeah.
You just, who knows?
And once you get into the sixth and seventh round, those are not guaranteed roster spots.
No, but I like the fact that they went for three linemen, and they're all kind of different players. The first dude, Onwenu, however you say it. Sorry if Michael's listening. but he's this big old dude. He looks like, you know, he's just good at pushing things. He's huge, in like 340 pounds huge. And then the next dude is a real much taller, like 6'4", 6'5", longer dude, not as big, but more athletic. And then apparently Dustin Woodward, I don't know how this is possible, but he was one of the top rated or highest rated run blocking centers in the country last year.
Good for him.
So, hey.
Yeah. Ted Karras is gone. Joe Tooney is potentially on the trade block. He hasn't reached an extension yet. So yeah, I'll take as much depth as you can get on the defense, on the offensive line.
Yeah, right. But speaking of which, Tooney, you think he's still on the trade block?
I hope they trade him. Do you know they have $2 million in cap space?
Yeah.
This is before signing any draft picks.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I don't know where that money's coming from.
I don't know what they're doing with that. How, if you were going to trade him, you'd trade him before the draft.
You would think so.
I mean, that's what you do.
That's what you do. Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. But he's making $14 million. That's preposterous. That doesn't make any sense. He's the second highest paid player on this team.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's like he's a guard. So on top of that, so there's the draft. And I mean, overall, what were you going to say?
And then the fun starts with the undrafted free agents.
Yes. Yeah, I can just list them off here real quick. We got Will Hastings, Auburn wide receiver.
Yep.
Anything about him, Sean? You like him?
He's just one of those, who was that, Hunter Renfro from Clemson?
Yeah.
He's exactly the same.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Patriots love those guys. Rashad Berry, another tight end, 6'3", 263. You got Isaiah Zuber, wide receiver, Jamar Smith, QB out of Louis Tech. Cornerback Miles Bryant, Washington, 5'7", 183. That kid's not making the team. I don't know how that's – what are they going to do with him? Bill Murray, D tackle out of William & Mary. Love it. 6'4", 280. That kid's making the team. the John Harris, Arkansas linebacker. You got another receiver, Sean Riley, someone we grew up with, Sean.
Yeah, could be. Different spelling on Riley.
J.J. Taylor, named after me, running back, and I'm not reading the rest off. There's a bunch more guys.
Yeah,
tight end,
matter.
DN, receiver, QB.
The thing is,
tackles.
Here are the themes. The wide receivers outside of Will Hastings are very small, very fast. They're trying to find one of those random speedsters that has receiving.
Yeah.
The other thing, there are two quarterbacks on this. One of them is your classic. I mean, he is Brian Hoyer 2.0, ideally. I'm not saying
which
he's
one.
The kid from Michigan State.
Really?
Well, I mean,
I heard he sucks.
He wasn't that good for the Spartans. I mean, Brian Hoyer was a much better player. I should say that. But the ceiling on Brian Lewerke, the absolute ceiling, is Brian Hoyer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess.
He's a backup quarterback at absolute best. The kid from Louisiana Tech, Jamar Smith, he's got some arm talent.
He's got something. They said he has 64% of his 64% completion.
Yeah, which is pretty good when you watch him play and he's pushing the ball down. He's got, like I said, he's got plenty of arm strength. He's got some reasonable accuracy. He's got escapability. He's not a runner, but he's got escapability. His legs is something we talked a heck of a lot about last episode in how important that NFL of today. Developmental prospect probably winds up on the practice squad, but why not take a shot at something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I like our undrafted free agents. We always say this every year. Bill finds one every year. He does. Doesn't matter where it is. Generally, I mean, it can't be every year, but almost every year.
Jacoby Myers. 5 or 6 years.
He's
last year
picked up better, almost better undrafted free agents than he's drafted in the past 5 years.
Which is another reason for that case to just take a bunch of.
Yeah.
If you literally let Bill select 5 people at once, and one of them.
Exactly.
So that's where we are right now. It's not the draft I was hoping for. Splash. I really wanted Cole Kmet, a high-end tight end prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And then I totally unstockpiled. I mean, they got 5 players on day 2. That's great. However, they passed over a lot of really good players in order to take a guy that was on nobody's radar. I mean, the only guy that would have taken Kyle Duggar anywhere between 67 and when was their next pick? 60. The only person that would have taken that dude was Al Davis, and he's been dead for 10 years. So I don't know why you got to jump on that at 37.
I mean, I've heard some things that Duggar was supposed to go around there. Someone would have taken him. But like you said, it's like who?
Who would have done that?
What if somebody would have taken him?
Especially with the other safeties that were right on the board there. Whatever. I'll get over it someday when Kyle Duggar makes his second Pro Bowl as a special teamer, which I'm sure he's going to turn in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If anything, he's going to be a Pro Bowl special teamer.
Here's another thing. Did you see that in Vegas? So Vegas has all the lines. I'm sure they have lines. Stay-at-home order is going to stop. But one of the things they have a line on is who's going to be coach of the year next. Bill Belichick is the favorite, and I don't think that's the case for the last 10.
You're right.
He's the favorite, and you know why? Because it's a narrative award. It's like the comeback player of the year. It's like, how bad was your infection? Did you get TB?
Right.
And so with the coach of the year award, it's like, how much hardship did you have to go through? Was the owner doing pills, or was the quarterback injured? And in our situation.
I think it's just simple, as much as, you know, who came out with the best team with the least amount of talent. Not always that's great, but like it's who was the underdog who came out with like that wasn't supposed to be there. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's what it typically turns out to be.
Yeah. Like, but for Bill Belichick, it's also, I think everyone thinks if you threw another coach into that situation, they would suck.
Yeah.
It's like you have a second year player starting quarterback. Kid really didn't gain too much confidence last year in the few snaps he played. And you really don't have like an offensive weapon that's going to be, oh, great, just throw to him. You don't have any of those guys. Oh, just hand the ball off to this guy. He's going to get you five. Like, there's no player that just dominates. You have Julian Edelman and James White. They're amazing, but they're also very timing-based guys who aren't very easy to find. So it's like, you know, that's part of the game there.
It totally makes sense for me why Vegas would choose that. I get the narrative. It makes complete sense because a lot of the surrounding chatter about the Patriots, not necessarily the last like 2 years, but prior to that was like, if you look back at 2013 and Brady's throwing to Edelman, who's in his first year as a starter, Danny Amendola is the big offseason acquisition. He's hurt all season. They got nothing on offense. They make a trade for actually, but somehow that shit-ass team makes it to the AFC. Gronk only plays like 4 games.
Yep.
And a lot of the discussion around it was that Belichick gets so much out of so little. He doesn't have all the Coach of the Year awards to show for it, but now he's going to get to put that on the line. How much are you going to get out of a fourth-round quarterback who's completed more regular season passes to opponents than mates? How are you going to do in that situation?
Yeah, literally. And that's why we're...
Doesn't it feel like this draft played into that? Where this draft, he's like, fuck you guys. I'm going to take 100%. Nobody you've ever heard of before.
Literally. That's what that's kind of what I think he was doing.
And I'm going to do it right in your face. It's like, yeah, I see that this highly touted tight end is right there. I'm going to take 2 of them you never heard of right before him. Eat on that.
Yeah, literally. Oh, you want a quarterback? Like everybody before this draft. Well, it's not... I think it was Schefter who said, it's not a matter of if they do it or draft a quarterback. It's what round or when. They don't, you think we're going to, you think we can't do it with Jared Stidham, fourth round pick from last year? Oh, good. We won't even draft one this year. How about that? Suck on that. We're not even going to take him in the seventh round. We're going to do undrafted just so you can sit on that one. Like, that's all he's doing, the whole draft.
Yeah, he was just fucking with people. I think he's 66 and he's F all this. I'm going to show you that I know more than everyone else. And you got Sean McVay and Cliff Kingsbury, all these hotshot young coaches with gel in their hair, and they're sitting on their patio in a beautiful estate. He's like, I'm sitting at a secondhand table.
I got literally my shittiest chairs I've ever seen.
Yeah. He's got a MacBook with no mouse. He's like, he's using the pad like a loser. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's fun.
Good old Bill. It's just strutting his stuff.
And for 2 decades now, we've been saying this whole "In Bill We Trust," basically ever since they cut Lawyer Malone. And that turned out to be a gangbuster.
Yeah.
We've all been saying "In Bill We Trust." And now it's like chased out some of the best players in franchise history. I mean, definitely the best.
Some of the best players ever.
Yeah.
In football.
And this is how we're going into it. And it's like, well, this really goes into that "In Bill We Trust" mode. I really hope they got this.
Yeah, exactly. He's shaking the foundation a little bit. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be fun either way. I just hope it's not week 11 and we're, 4-7 or something. It's just like, well, we shouldn't have won those 4 games. That would suck.
It's fun to see the other AFC East teams taking a big swing. You know, the Dolphins are taking a big swing. They get 2-5 and they just keep trying to pilfering the Patriots organization for everything they can get.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are like, yeah, we'll take Jake Fromm in the 5th round because why not? And then they traded for Stephon Diggs. They're trying to go with all these short, fast receivers to try to match Josh Allen's arm strength, despite not thinking about his accuracy problems at all.
Literally. What do you think? You think Joe Burrow is a real thing?
I do, yeah. I was trying to think about that. So this kind of ties into something I did want to talk about. John Ross, who was a top 10 pick of the Bengals 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was a speedy receiver. He still has the record for the fastest 40 time in combine history. He's had injuries all over the place his entire NFL career. They draft Joe Burrow. Same week, John Ross's 5th-year option is declined. So he's going into his last year on a $2 million contract.
Really? Wow, okay.
Yeah, so they have A.J. Green under the franchise tag. They just drafted T. Higgins, the first pick in the 2nd round, who's a really good player out of Clemson.
Yeah, I think he's going to be sick.
He's a really talented guy. And then they got John Ross on the lame duck deal. And John Ross is a speedster. He goes fucking downtown. And Joe Burrow, the only knock on Joe Burrow is you don't have the arm to throw it. So those two just don't seem to fit to me. I don't think that John Ross can get the ball from Joe Burrow. So I think John Ross is available. And for the first time in 20 years, the Patriots have a quarterback who is not underneath specialist.
Yeah.
Jarrett Stidham can put the ball down the field. I think that's an opportunity to pick up John Ross from the Bengals. I know he's injury prone. I know it's a big risk, which is why you're only going to send him a 6th round pick.
You think they could get a 6th round pick for him?
The Bengals? The Bengals could definitely get a pick. I think it would.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Just a 6th round pick.
Probably a 5th.
That seems a little low.
Probably a 5th.
Seems a little low.
But they declined his 5th year option and he can't stay healthy.
Yeah. I'm all for it. We could use some talent.
But I do think, I mean, what do you think about
it? Just out of principle, root against any drafted number one quarterback. I will say it. I just want them all to fail. I just think it's, too much spotlight. Not enough of them have been successful for everyone to be like, oh, we need one number one. So
a lot of them have. I mean, a lot of them have won national champion. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, would
Andrew
Luck. Cam had a good. Andrew Lar, I don't know. I always, I haven't, I thought he was good. I thought he was really good in LSU. So I don't really care. Hope he does bad. I always root against him.
Fair enough.
The Lions took a big swing and a miss on not a miss, but big swing on Jeff Okuda. They should have got Derek Brown.
Highest drafted cornerback 20. That feels like a big swing.
Big swing.
So, yeah, the Lions were evidently trying to trade back from 3 for whatever reason. They couldn't find a taker. I don't know why. Because nobody expected Jeff Okuda number 4. So they get to 5 and try to get the Dolphins to move up to get Tua. It's a whole thing. the Chargers go and get Justin Herbert, and he's going to go play magic cards or do whatever he does in the locker room.
He does not look like a quarterback.
I mean, doesn't he look like the number one bust? If you're going to draw a bust quarterback for me, it's that dude. It's a guy that looks incredible. Like, he's, you see him at the combine, and Justin Herbert and Jacob Eason, the quarterback from Washington, and Joe Burrow's in the middle, and both of those guys have 3 inches, 30 pounds. And it's like, Justin Herbert's in a shirt, and he looks really cut up, and he ran like a 4.65 40. And you're like, oh yeah, those are the guys I want. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow's the only one that can complete a goddamn pass. It's like, at the end of the day, it's not about what you look like in gym shorts. It's about whether or not you can throw the ball accurately and read a defense. And so Justin Herbert goes at six. At six.
Six.
And then Jordan Love, like, classic. Just a classic pick right there. The Packers take Jordan Love, 20s. Quarterback from Utah State.
Traded up for it.
Wanted him. Had to have him. This is a kid who regressed as a senior. Had a difficult time completing passes in the Mountain West Conference. Look, if you're going to be a first-round quarterback, you need to dominate the Mountain West. Dominate. I don't care what the tape measure says. And, now Aaron Rodgers is put on notice, quote, really, he must be livid. What in the fuck? You guys could have got me a guard, a tackle, could have got me another receiver, because when Davante Adams respects anybody else on our offense.
Yeah.
And instead, you go and pick a guy that's going to be handling a clipboard for 2 years.
Yep. They Aaron Rodgers'd them, as you said.
Yeah, they totally did.
I thought it was pretty funny. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the one thing I'll give to the Packers is in that playoff game last year. I know he didn't have a lot, but he, in somewhere in the beginning of that second half, he was not playing. He no longer gave a shit. He kind of checked out of the whole game. And, you know, on the biggest stage, for whatever reason, you're checking out. It's probably, you know, it's not going to go over well with the coaching. And it was obvious he wasn't playing himself. So it seems like it was more of just, we don't give a fuck who we're taking quarterback. We're going to take one just to piss you off and get you playing again. So I wonder, I don't think that's going to work out for him. But
I wonder if it will.
That's what it seems like. Maybe, well, he might play better, but his, you know, like, he might not retire there now or something, you know? Like, he might think of free agency a little bit more. Brady just left. He's probably like, you know what? Jumping ship's the new thing to do.
It's not a new thing to do. It's the thing everyone's
done. It's the thing everyone's done. You're right.
There was a brief period where players didn't do, where Dan Marino retired as a Dolphin, and John Elway went out with the Broncos, and Aikman went out with the Cowboys, and Steve Young stayed with the Niners, even though he started his stuff well before that. There was a brief window where the quarterbacks didn't leave, but that was it. I mean, they left before that. Unitas, Namath, Montana, they left before that. They left after it. Peyton Manning left. Brett Favre left. Guess what?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has been talking for years about the Tom Brady longevity. He's into it. He wants to play for a long time.
Yeah.
He's also into making max dollars. So the best way to make max dollars is to keep.
Yeah, exactly.
So I expect him to play for somebody else eventually. I also expect this to make him play a lot better. It made Brett Favre play a lot better.
You're right.
He was on the downturn. Rodgers comes in there. There's a reason Rodgers didn't play until his fourth year. And it's because Favre was playing really well.
Favre was killing it.
Favre's last year in Green Bay in 07, they were in the NFC Championship game against the Giants. And if only he had figured out a way to win that game, we wouldn't have to play Eli Manning. And more importantly, Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, and
everybody else
on that defense in the Super Bowl that season. But his last game with the Packers was an NFC. It's not like he was bad.
Well, didn't he go to the Vikings and get an MVP?
I don't know if he won the MVP, but that was an incredible
season. No, it wasn't an MVP, but he killed it. I don't think he won the MVP.
He was terrific.
But he dominated. But
the point is, with the Packers, he got better. Aaron Rodgers gets taken in the first round in 2005. Favre is still the starter there for the next three seasons and does really well all the way up until.
Exactly.
I think the same thing's going to happen with Rodgers, and he's going to leave the Jets, and then he's going to suck, and he's going to go to the Detroit Lions, and he's going to pull back Bobby Lane's legacy from the 50s, and he's going to be a playboy and go out on the town, and he's going to bring the Detroit Lions to the cusp of success and then destroy that fan base.
Rodgers. You think he'll go to Detroit?
I'm just talking shit, man.
That would be pretty good.
I think he's going to be good for a couple years.
Sean's money's on Detroit. There you go.
No, I think Rodgers will be good for a couple years, and then he's
going to. Okay.
And then he's going to be very spiteful. He's probably going to. Maybe he'll play for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be so spiteful that he'll go back and try to rub it in the Packers.
Just like Favre did.
Yeah.
Good old Favre. Exactly. One thing I want to talk about on the draft, and I talked to you about this before too, is, you know, what's the deal with these teams this year? They're literally trading off like Pro Bowl players at a certain position, then drafting them in the first round. You saw the Detroit Lions do it with, didn't they trade around Slay?
They traded Darius Slay, yeah.
And then they draft Jeff Okuda, and it's like, okay. And then you see someone like the Jags drafting a cornerback after they sent Jalen Ramsey to, but they sent, did they get two first round picks?
Yeah, they got two firsts and a second.
So that makes sense. But still, ninth overall, you get a cornerback. It's like, it's weird.
It is weird, and I don't, we talked about it while we were watching the draft. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Somebody that you know is a really good NFL player, you trade away to get, like in Darius Slay's case, just talk about that one. They get kind of a crappy asset. I think they got a somewhere between a second and a fourth round pick. I don't
remember. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened there, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that the coach, Matt Patricia, and Darius Slay were very much not on the same wave, and that came out afterwards. But then to turn around and spend an asset, number three overall, do you know what you could get for number three overall?
Yeah.
I mean, just let's put it this way. In 2012, the number two overall pick got traded from the from the Rams to the Redskins. The Redskins traded up to get RG3, and they traded away three first-round picks for number two overall. You could get, like, let's say two first-round picks and a second round for number three.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. When you think you could probably get one good cornerback out of a first-round pick and a second-round pick, right? One of them would be good.
Yeah.
And then you have a spare first-round pick. Instead, you're rolling the dice and putting every marble in the basket, the number three overall pick being a cornerback. And guess what? It's kind of a crapshoot. How good is Morris Claiborne? Number six overall. How good is Mark Barron? He's a top 10 pick at safety.
That's crazy. Yeah, he was. It happened throughout the draft, too. I mean, Jacksonville did it twice. They got rid of their whole defensive line, and then they drafted edge player. The Minnesota Vikings get rid of Diggs to Buffalo for a first-round pick and draft a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it happened a lot. It's kind of funny. So
they got multiple picks from that, but I totally get what you're saying. They are different receivers. And what the thing for me is the difference later in the first round, like the Vikings, they trade away Stephon Diggs and they get back. I think they got back like 22nd, and they take Justin Jefferson. At that point, the contract for that first round pick, it's like two, it's really low versus Stephon Diggs is 14.
That's true.
I get understand. That. But at Jeff Okuda at number three overall, he's making like 7-8.
Right.
That's real money. And Darius Slay's making 11. I'm like, that guy's really good, and he's making 11. And you're going to use a better really good asset player on this guy to save like $3 million? Like, that doesn't fit.
Yeah. Crazy.
Have you seen the Jaguars' first round picks since, like, I think it's like 20?
Are they all D linemen?
Oh, my. They're not all D linemen. They're just all horrible.
They're all horrible, of course.
Horrible. Luke. I think it goes back even further. 2012, Justin Blackmon, then going forward, Luke Jokel, Blake Bortles, Dante Fowler, there's Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette. I mean, there's so many players in washed out, flat, washed out. They've only used the fifth-year option because they just screw up every pick. Or they trade the guy like Dante Fowler and the good player.
Right, literally. The last thing I wanted to mention about just what happened, you know, player selected, I was surprised to see CeeDee Lamb drop so far and have Henry Ruggs go as the first receiver at 12 to the Raiders, of course.
Mark Davis is still in charge there.
Clearly.
I mean, the ghost of Al Davis lives on, and he saw 40 time in the 4-2s, and he's like, that's my guy.
That's my guy, literally. And then even Jerry Jeudy went so before CeeDee Lamb, so I think Dallas got really lucky getting CeeDee Lamb. I think that's going to be a really good pick for them.
Seems like everybody thinks that, which makes me concerned about it, even though I'm a huge CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't work out.
I don't know. But did you see Michael Irvin said that CeeDee Lamb has a look of the next great 88 for the Cowboys?
He did?
Yeah, which is hilarious because Amari Cooper's been there for years and just signed a huge contract. And at no point did Michael Irvin say, oh, Amari Cooper should wear 88. No, it's this kid who's never played for them.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
So that's fun. I haven't heard Dez Bryant weigh in on it, but CeeDee Lamb should be a really good player. He's been incredible everywhere.
So how did you enjoy the broadcast of the draft?
I didn't. Well, we both screwed up because we were watching, because you don't have cable. So no. You're watching ABC and we're Zooming. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'm watching ABC because the ESPN's on a lag. Turns out, did you know this? That ABC was like the family friendly broadcast and ESPN was the sports heavy broadcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They had totally different people. They had totally different coverage. I hear this after the fact and I'm like, I didn't even see Mel Kiper once, or like I barely saw him. And,
right.
Cause all they were doing is, whatever the reporter's name is, who's got the really soothing voice, and he's coming in, he's like, tell me about the worst thing that ever happened in your whole life. And like that was the draft coverage that you and I saw. Meanwhile, on ESPN, they're like, look at this hit. Can you believe he made that throw? It's like, that's what I needed to see.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. So I blame you.
Okay. I'll take the blame.
What did you think about the draft coverage?
Still, they should have showed more highlights. Well, there you go.
We watched.
I hated that they didn't show anything.
But Goodell did the same literally thing on both broadcasts, which was so funny. You could see the results of the handle talking with. I remember he made the wardrobe change during the first night.
Oh, yeah.
And then later on, he's got his feet up on his ottoman, and he's like, you know, rubbing his socks together. He's got the socks with the gold toes or whatever, and he's just lounging in his basement.
Oh, yeah, good old Raj. Yeah, he was, he looked like he didn't want to be there about 20 picks, and he was like, just get me out of here. I don't know why they made him do that whole time, but I guess they always do.
You blame him?
Yeah, ridiculous.
All right, well, that'll do it here for our draft coverage. Hope you guys enjoyed the first live sporting event in a long time, and hopefully there's more of that to come soon. NFL schedule will be announced shortly. And as anything changes with the offseason, training camp, or any roster moves, we'll be back in to give our take on the updates that are to come.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Adios.